On the Lord's Supper night, we are always supposed to examine ourselves. That's what 1 Corinthians 11 tells us that we should do. And of course, we all have a lot of examination to do. We've never had a shortage of examining ourselves. But I want to start out having you look at a verse in 2 Corinthians chapter 10. And to examine ourselves, we really need to survey the wondrous cross, and that is especially the person who hung on that cross. If we would examine the Lord Jesus Christ himself and all that he is and was, then it would be the best way for us to examine ourselves. And there's a statement in 2 Corinthians 10 verse 1 that always stands out to me, and I think something that we ought to always remember. When Paul was speaking to this church, he said, "I, Paul, myself beseech you," but then he said, "it's by," and notice these two words, "the meekness and gentleness of Christ." Paul will say a lot. He has to defend his apostleship here and say a lot about himself that he will confess. I wish I didn't have to say these things, but I want to beseech you by the Lord Jesus Christ, and I want to remind you of two things about him, the meekness and the gentleness of Christ. Even though we know that the Lord himself had a whole array of emotions and displayed them at times, the bottom line to what he was meek and gentle. After all, being God in the flesh, having the power at his fingertips to destroy as well as to create, to submit himself to being gentle and meek in this world was really something when you think about it. We've often thought of the word meekness. I wrote an article last year on this word, meekness. It's a wonderful biblical word. But I want us to think about that second word a little bit, and that is the gentleness of Christ, because we all need that. And so having seen that verse, I want you to go back to James chapter 3 and toward the end of this chapter to a verse that I have been at many times, but I love this verse and it has our word gentle in it. Remember that James chapter 3 is the chapter where the Lord speaks about our tongue and how it is very difficult to control our tongue. And of course, one of the ways that we're not very gentle sometimes is with our words and with our mouth. As a matter of fact, perhaps that's the most way in which we violate this principle of gentleness, because we don't strike very often with our hands or things like that, but boy, we can with our mouth. And so he warns us about the tongue. And then he says in verse 14 here, "If you have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, lie not against the truth. This wisdom, this kind of wisdom, descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. Where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work." We live in a culture like that, don't we? We live around that kind of thing all of the time. And it's very easy for us to kind of adopt that, capitulate to it, and think that we're okay because we're like the rest of the world. And of course, we shouldn't be. So he makes this wonderful statement in verses 17 and 18 of this third chapter of James. The wisdom, that was the wisdom from below, but here is the wisdom that is from above. And it'll have our word gentle in it, the third word in this line. But let me just remind you of how he gets to that word. First of all, he says this kind of wisdom has to be first pure. Purity is an absolute for us. Purity is always the starting point in lists like this. When we are to add to our faith, as 2 Peter says in chapter 1, we're to add to our faith, first of all, virtue. Even before knowledge, we're to add virtue first. What good is knowledge without virtue? What good is the rest of our Christian life without purity and virtue? Now, praise the Lord that we know that in salvation, don't we? These words would not mean anything to someone who doesn't know Christ as Savior, because there's no way we can be pure. We can be good for a while. We can kind of put on a good face for a while. But we only know purity through salvation that comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's a great starting point for this word gentleness, because we have to be pure. Now, that doesn't mean that all Christians qualify or attain this thing of purity. We have to work at it, even as believers. We can commit sin, and we do. We can do almost anything a lost person can do if we're not careful. And so we have to work at it first. If we're going to accomplish the rest of the words in this list, we have to start there. Purity kind of brings you to ground zero. Purity, holiness, these kinds of words in the scripture bring you to a place where you don't need anything else. As James said in his first chapter, so that you need not anything. You don't need anything else with this kind of wisdom. And are we to that place in this life? Or we still need everything else? Purity just kind of brings us to ground zero. Now, in this verse, notice the word first and then the word then. First comes before this. It has to be first in line. But then comes another word. In other words, all throughout this list, it's a list that's in order. And so purity will come first, and then after purity will come peaceableness, to be peaceable. The wisdom from above is peaceable. That's the life that comes out of purity. Purity is like looking out over the lake, and it is absolutely still. There isn't a ripple in the water anywhere. Have you ever seen water like that? You have, but it's not always, isn't it? A lake can be different. A river can be different. A pond or whatever. But to see absolutely still water, because it's pure from all outside elements, and therefore it's peaceable. You know, this word only appears twice in the New Testament, and the other place is in Hebrews 12. Go back about two pages in your Bible to Hebrews 12, and you have a passage on chastisement where the Lord is working on us to make us pure, to make us holy. And so he's talking about the chastening of the Lord in verse 5 and so forth. But notice that when he gets to verse 10, he says, "For they verily," that is our fathers, "for a few days chastened us after their own pleasure, but he," that is God, "does it for our profit, that we might be partakers of his holiness." Notice how holiness comes here, like purity comes. But look at verse 11. "No chastening of the present seemeth to be joyous, but afterward," but grievous. "Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth," and here is our word, the only other place in the New Testament where it appears, "the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby." So when holiness or purity comes first, peaceableness can come. Again, you know, if you've ever seen that still water, maybe you like to boat or canoe or something on that. There's nothing like going out onto water that's like glass. Early in the morning, the fog still coming up off the water, and there's no other sound other than just the boat cutting through the water. It's just peaceable, isn't it? It's peaceable to have that. And so I want to show you one other place because we have time. If you can hold your thumb there, go all the way back to 2 Samuel in the Old Testament. And verse 20, or chapter 20, I mean, 2 Samuel chapter 20, there's a story here of when David had come back to Jerusalem as king, and he was having to put down all of the enemies that had rebelled against him. Even his own son Absalom was now dead. And so there were other enemies still out there, and as he came back to Jerusalem as king, he had to put them down. And in chapter 20 and verse 1, there's a man named Sheba. And he was an enemy of David. and had cursed him when he left, and this man had followed David's enemies. And so after David comes back, he sends out Joab. His name is his brother Abishai in verse 6 and Joab in verse 9. And Joab follows this man, Sheba, all the way to in verse 15, to a place called Abel in Beth-Maacah. And this man is in that city. But notice in verse 16, he's in the city. Joab comes to the city, and he's going to tear the walls down to get this enemy of David. You will destroy the city, but that's what they did in those days. And kill everybody in it, if it takes that, to kill this enemy of David. Then cried a wise woman, verse 16, out of the city. And we're talking about wisdom in James 3, aren't we? A wise woman out of the city, "Hear, hear, say I pray you unto Joab, come near hither that I may speak with thee." And when he was come near unto her, the woman said, "Art thou Joab?" And he answered, "I am he." Then she said unto him, "Hear the words of thine handmaid." And he answered, "I do hear." Then she spake, saying, they were wont to speak in old time, saying, "They shall surely ask counsel at Abel," and so they ended the matter. I am one of them, notice, and you only have this word a few times in the whole Bible, that are peaceable and faithful in Israel. Here's a wisdom of a woman that is peaceable. And so what you find is, she said, "You tell me who you're after, and we'll give him to you." And he said, "I want the head of Sheba." And we find that in the end of verse 21, "Behold, his head shall be thrown to thee over the wall." Peaceable woman, but wise in saving the city. And so verse 22 says, "Then the woman went unto all the people in her wisdom, and they delivered Sheba in that way to Joab." A wise woman who delivered the city, who said, "I'm a peaceable woman." And we will find back, if we turn now back to James, that it ends up also that somebody who is pure and peaceable is also gentle and easy to be entreated. And she was, "Come and talk to me. We'll work this out." And they worked it out. Now back in James, if first we have purity, secondly we have peaceableness, freedom from strife. And then notice the third word is our word gentle. It's exactly the same word that is described in 2 Corinthians 10 that described the Lord Jesus Christ, the meekness and gentleness of Christ. It means forbearance. Sometimes it's translated that way. Moderation, mild-mannered, to be without anger. And Christ is a great example of gentleness. It's the opposite of what we read back up in verse 14 to 16, isn't it? The bitter envying and strife. It's also the opposite of what you read in chapter 4, verse 1. "Whence come wars and fightings among you? Come they not hence even of your lusts that war in your members? You lust and have not, you kill and desire to have and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you have not because you ask not. You ask and receive not because you ask amiss that you may consume it upon your lusts." All of that is opposite of gentleness. And yet that's what the world around us is, and that's why it is so hard to have this quality in our lives. But notice again, first purity, then peaceable, then gentle. If I could go back to that analogy, I keep, you know, the Bible talks about a lot about water, and we sing, about rivers, and we sing about the gentleness of the water, and those people in those days, especially fishermen, knew how the water reacted. And I can remember being on still water like that with my grandfather when we used to go out early in the morning and we set these limb lines and trot lines. And the only thing you could hear going down the river was just the paddle in the water kind of coming across the side of the boat and coming up out of the water. You heard nothing else. And then a slow paddle, you'd hear it again, dip into the water, come alongside the boat and up out of the water. That's all you heard. He's being very quiet, very gentle, because the fish are still out there ready to bite on the lines that he set. And I always think of that when I think of gentleness. My grandfather was a World War I machine gunnist in the trenches in France and Italy with a Purple Heart. In his life, he knew a lot that wasn't gentle. But in this situation, he was that kind of a person. The Lord Jesus Christ could be a lot of things other than gentle, but he was gentle. That is a quality we need to have in this world that is turbulent, in this world that has a moral revolution going on, that is anti everything you believe. You need to be gentle. The meekness and gentleness of Christ. And so notice what happens when we are, that the next quality that comes out of gentleness is easy to be entreated. The New King James has it, willing to yield. This is a word, good, and the word to persuade. Good persuasion. So easy to be persuaded, easy to be entreated, an old word. Or from that point, willing to yield to what you hear. Are you a person easy to be entreated? Do other people come to you and ask you a question or ask your advice? Do they come to you and say, what do you think about this? Maybe if they do not, it's because the purity and the peaceableness and the gentleness have not produced that quality of being entreated. But if we work on the first three, purity, and we're peaceable, and then we're gentle, that's the kind of person you want to go to. That's the kind of person you need as a friend. That's the kind of counselor you need. And this world needs Christians like this. They need to be able to come to us and listen to the words that we have. Like that woman who saved the city, she was easy to be entreated, and Joab entreated her and found out what? She was full of mercy and good fruits. I'll give you what you need. So Jesus said, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. How many people came to Jesus? Think in those 3 short years of his public ministry, how many stories we have of people who came to Jesus by night and said, you know, ask this question, or came to him with a problem, said, could you do this? Could you take care of my child? Could you heal me? Could you do this? Good master, what about this? All of these questions, he was easy to be entreated. And you know why? Because he was gentle. Meekness and gentleness of Christ. You don't go to somebody who's not gentle and ask for help. So what happens when you go to such a person like that? Well, then you find out that that person is full of mercy and good fruits. You get good stuff. That is, you get a good answer. You get good help. You get what you need from a person like that. And the Lord gives us richly all things to enjoy. When we go to the Lord Jesus and we entreat him, he gives us what we need in this life to make it through. And notice then that same person is, at the end, without partiality. He doesn't pick and choose. Well, I'll help you, but I won't help you. I like you, but I don't like you. This kind of person is easy to be entreated, and anybody can come. As Jesus said, anyone can come to him, and you will find him meek and gentle to your souls. That kind of person is without partiality when it comes to giving out. And lastly, that kind of person is without hypocrisy. He's not fooling you. A person, if he has all of these qualities in his or her life, he or she is not going to be hypocritic, going to be real at that point. And this kind of person was out without hypocrisy. So verse 18 kind of ends it by saying, the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. It kind of goes back to that idea of peaceableness. If we don't have the peaceableness, we'll never have the gentleness. So as we come to the Lord's table, and we do this 4 times a year, We come to examine ourselves and say, how am I? We have to look at the Lord Jesus himself and say, you know, after all, it's his body and his blood that we're thinking about and what he did for us. One of the qualities I think we should think about is the gentleness of Christ and how that was attained in his life, how it needs to be attained in our life as well. And as we bow our heads and go to the Lord in prayer, we can confess those things that keep us from being that kind of person. We can put them aside, and we can come in purity and peaceableness and gentleness to the Lord's table. Let's pray together. Father, how we thank you for the admonitions in your word to things that are not of this world. This world doesn't know the purity that comes through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and doesn't know the peace that passes all understanding, and surely doesn't know the gentleness and meekness that was in the Lord Jesus Christ. But we know you. We've been washed in your blood, and we have peace in our hearts from condemnation and from our sin, and we thank you for that. But Father, help us to have that peaceableness in us that comes from walking with you. Father, that we may be a gentle kind of people, so that people would come to us and ask us, so that we could give messages that have eternal life in them, that people might hear. So bless us tonight as we examine ourselves about this quality. Help us to be like Christ. We'll thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.